We're floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The stormy clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home. Sometimes we felt discouraged and thought it all in vain for us to live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then we heard the Master say, I'll lend you a helping hand. If you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. The lifeboat soon is coming. By faith I now can see, as she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends we love so dear. Get ready, cries the captain. Oh, look, she is almost here. Then cheer, my comrades, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we'll meet upon the golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather the jewels home.
Good morning and welcome to Holding Fast the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in Auburn. This is Pastor Tim thanking you for tuning into the program this morning. Please be sure to check out our website at BibleWayBC.org, in particular our calendar of events. We will be having August Rosado with us on the 6th of May. That'll be Sunday. He'll be here for the morning services and the evening as well. It'll be a day of prophecy, and he always brings interesting and relevant material to the pulpit. Everybody that I've spoken to who has had him in the church has been encouraged and blessed by it. So please make every effort to be here for that. I want to give a shout out to Heather, who drove all the way out from Waltham last Sunday to be with us for the Sunday evening service. She does listen to the radio program and decided to come out and be with us on Sunday evening. And so we do appreciate that. We appreciate the folks that listen to the program. We're hearing more and more folks that are listening to the program. Met a young man, Mike, who works for Dave's Tree and Landscaping, and come to find out he had listened to the program a while back while he was traveling to school. Good conversation, nice saved young man, just trying to do right by the Lord. So I appreciate the young people trying to get right with the Lord and live right, stay right. It's very difficult to do that in this day and age. So many churches have gone off the beaten path and are so far removed from biblical truth. They have a pop psychology type of mentality when they get behind the pulpit. And the Bible is the last thing that is truly authoritative in their ministries. And so it's good to see young people that are gravitating toward the Word of God and just trying to navigate their way through it in these areas. So anyway, we've been in Jude for a while, and we'll be in a long while. Last few weeks, we've been in under the title, I guess you call it the warning, verses 3 and 4. And talking about certain men who have crept in, verse number 4, unawares, who are before of old ordained to this condemnation, and godly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Ungodly men is what he refers to them as. And if you look at verse number 15, you notice his use of this word, ungodly, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. This is a reality that a lot of folks are struggling, believe it or not, to come to terms with, that there are ungodly people in the world. There are wicked people in the world. This rebranding of sorts that's going on now, what's right is wrong and what is wrong is right, you know, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that's a real scriptural principle. And the woe is on those that would pervert biblical truth in the most gross way possible. And that's what we're seeing today much of what we see today is a reflection of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible is very clear on that. They're set forth, Sodom and Gomorrah, that is, set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These ungodly men, these are men that do things that God has expressly forbidden. And when we get to the issue of morals, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, same-sex marriage is immoral. It's ungodly. It's wicked. It's perverse. Lesbianism, homosexuality, sodomy, whatever you want to call it, it's perversion of the grossest sort. And it is most offensive against God. And the Bible's clear on this from both the Old and the New Testament. Sodom and Gomorrah, it was more than just the pride thing. They continued to do their abominations, and that warranted the judgment and wrath of God. So these are people that had no reverence whatsoever for God, for his character, no reverence for God's law, and certainly no reverence for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now, these are the kind of men that are creeping into churches today, folks. It's high time that people of God wake up and smell the coffee, as the expression goes. These men are coming in and perverting the gospel. They're perverting the grace of God. They're perverting God's character, God's nature, God's holiness. They're making a God in their own likeness, in their own image. I don't care how many rainbow flags you have. I don't care how many psychologists you get on your panel or on your side. There is one lawgiver, and that's God. And he sets the standard, and you can't just come along and debate with him and say, oh no, this is the way it's going to be, and you're going to accept it. He's not, he won't, and wrath is coming as a result of it. So these are people that turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So basically what you have is the doctrine of grace, or the doctrines of God's grace, perverted to suit the whims of unregenerate hearts and minds. Now, let me make this very clear. This modern, immoral, perverse, wicked movement that's going on today, this is the byproduct not of a genuine love for God. Don't let that fool you. This is the byproduct of unregenerate hearts and minds. Reprobates. Those that have been turned over to a reprobate mind. It says that in Romans chapter 1. He gave them up, and he turned them over. Turned them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Everything that we see happening in the world today from a moral perspective is the result of an unregenerate heart and mind. And I think there's a looseness today, unfortunately, in many of our churches when it comes to salvation. There is, even though some of our brethren would deny this. Well, we don't believe in easy believism. We believe in, you know, repentance and this and that and the other thing. But the reality of it is there's a looseness that is associated with the gospel that is given out today that is damning souls to hell. That is allowing for this perverseness, this lasciviousness, to creep into churches and undermine the very foundation that God has established. Remember, the church is the ground and pillar of the truth, at least it should be. And, of course, the further and further we get away, the more those pillars will erode away. And so we got to watch this stuff. And I always challenge people, look, you need to examine yourselves. Just make sure you're within the faith. Even the psalmist said it over there in Psalm 119, I thought upon my ways and turned my feet toward thy testimonies. And it's okay for believers to stop thinking about what other people are doing and start thinking about what you're doing. Are you lining up with the gospel of Christ? Are you lining up with sound doctrine? Are you lining up with God's will? Those are questions you have to ask and answer on your own. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll turn there real quick, 1 Peter chapter 4, we see some things happening here. We'll start And verse number 1, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 1, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." When we walked in lasciviousness. Now, if you turn over here to Ephesians chapter 2, notice what he says here. "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins." We're talking about regeneration. So there was a time in my life I was lost. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I had an unregenerate heart. But then I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I was saved. I was born again. I was regenerated. I was made alive. Now notice what he says in verse number 2. "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." He says over here, "For in times past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness." Verse number 2 in Ephesians, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." There's a difference between who you are now and who you were before you got saved. But unfortunately today, the big part of the problem is there's no difference between those that are saved and those that are lost. Well, how did that come to be? How did we end up in this place where that's happening? Because certain men have crept in, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, let me show you something else here. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what he says in verse number 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now watch what he says in verse number 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." There's a difference between who you are now and who you were. You walked in those paths. You did those things. And the Bible gives plenty of examples of where they are wrong. And so what business do we have entertaining any of this foolishness in our churches? This is why Jude put it out there and earnestly contended with them and charged them to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because these people are creeping into churches. When we think about this word lasciviousness, for example, Webster's dictionary defines it as looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness. There's something to be said about that. We see a lot of that today. We certainly see looseness today. The general state of morality is defined by the individual. It's subjective. So whatever makes you feel good, hey, go for it. Whatever makes me feel good, hey, let's go for it. But the Bible has a clear standard that he expects everyone to follow. Now, today, with the perverseness that's being taught in many of the public schools, a lot of people now are pulling out and they want to homeschool their children. Homeschooling is not just a Christian thing, by the way. I've met a lot of homeschoolers that they don't do church at all. They're just sick and tired of the general state of many of the public schools today. They're turning our children into social activists. That's not what they're being paid to do. Teach them to read and write. Teach them 1 + 1 = 2. But you have no right teaching these children the moral issues of the day. You have no right doing that. That's not within your realm. That's the responsibility of the parent. And so we see this kind of happening. So there's a looseness today. There's an irregular indulgence of animal desires. I tell people this. I use this example. People start off with drugs, and again, some people have some control, so I don't want to make a blanket statement and say everybody. But when you get involved in drugs or alcohol or even gambling, it starts with a little bit, and then you're not satisfied with that little bit, and then you want a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And that's the same thing with immorality. Maybe it's one affair, and the next thing you know, down the road, it might be three or four affairs. Then maybe you're not satisfied fulfilling those particular lusts, and you start to explore other options, other alternatives. And so you're never satisfied. You're indulging in that unregenerate nature, which lusts after lust. Notice what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4. If you can, turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. And beginning in verse number 17, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Again, unregenerate hearts and unregenerate minds. We're told, don't walk like the Gentiles walk. Now notice what he says here in verse number 19. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." So here's what happens. You know, when you first start a thing, there's a little guilt and there's a little shame. There's a little remorse. As you continue to engage in a thing, less guilt, less shame, less remorse. Pretty soon you're so fully engaged in a thing and in context dealing with moral issues that there's not even any shame or guilt anymore. You're past feeling. Now you can easily tie this into Romans chapter 1. You can easily tie this into Romans chapter 1, where God gave them up, and gave them over. This is the part that people miss. Notice what it says here, Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse number 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding." You know, we're at a really interesting place in our society today, and even worse, in the churches today. This is one of the problems when pastors and Bible colleges and schools and even parents teaching their children Bible at home, when they fail to teach the Bible in its entirety. What is wrong in the eyes of God is still wrong in the eyes of God. Man's not going to change God's mind on these things. Man is not going to move God away from the standards that he's already set. So the further and further man gets away from God, the more he will act on those, I guess you could use the word, animal desires, Webster's Dictionary, for lasciviousness. The lust will continue to grow and grow and grow. The flesh is never satisfied. There's a clear distinction between the world's way of thinking as far as morals are concerned, and ungodliness is concerned, wickedness is concerned, the holiness of God is concerned. If you're a saved child of God, believing the book, loving on the Lord, and trying to do right, then you're going to do your best to line yourself up with what the Scripture says, not what man says. You're not going to allow yourself, you allow your heart, your mind to be perverted by the perverted views of man. Now, one of the interesting things here, again, 2 Peter chapter 2 really does line up with Jude. And so I want to just read this real quick. I know I'm running out of time here. But verse number 1, 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse number 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, look what he says here in verse 6. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Lot's spirit was vexed. Not the conversation, not talk conversation, their conduct. Their lifestyle was filthy. And I don't have to go into a great deal of detail on this program to make you understand what filthy is. We see it today. There is an immorality today, and it's filthy. I don't have the numbers with me, but there's some statistics that show that a number of Christians, women in particular, read 50 Shades of Grey. And I guess there was a movie that came out after. I remember speaking to a man. Man loved the Lord, loved the book, supposedly his family, his wife, and that whole thing. And what ended up happening, she got a hold of that book. And it messed with her head. I met several people actually like that. No Christian has any business reading that garbage. No Christian has any right at all to get involved in that, but that's what's happening. It's filthy. And it's a vexation to the people of God. The more and more Christians I talk to today, the more that they lament how much they're disturbed by the immoral conduct today. And we're not talking about just sodomites. We're talking about across the board, divorce and fornication and adultery. I mean, these things are tolerated in churches. And that swings the doors wide open for other immoral things to happen. I mean, who is any preacher to preach against sodomy if they're allowing fornicators in the church as members? I mean, really? I mean, he mentions fornication in Romans chapter 1 among the other sins. And so we have to be careful of these things as we go forward. Now we notice the apostate here in the last part of this verse in Jude, he denies the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he deny? He denies his authority. When you deny the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to substitute with another authority. You're going to substitute the pure authority of God's law, and God's word, and God's son. You're going to substitute that with the corrupt nature of man and his authority. They deny the Lord when they deny that he's the Savior of the world. They deny the Lord when they deny his deity, his virgin birth, his resurrection. They deny the Lord when they deny the inspiration and preservation of Scripture. Jude rightfully attacks both the character and the message of the apostates. Folks, we have to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This is a very stern warning, and it's meant for our generation as a people to take a firm stand on these issues. And we're not talking about just one side of the moral issue. We're talking about the whole thing. Once one door is open, others will soon follow. All right, time to bring our message to a close. May the Lord richly bless you. Take care and have a good day.